amen to what Colton said. You know, that is a true principle about brick by brick. The Bible says it a different way, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Talking about the inspired and revealed Word of God. I would like to speak to you this morning about the word amen. We hear people say amen all the time, but do we really? I don't hear it enough, I'll say that. I probably don't say it enough. But I want to talk about that. It's been on my mind for a lot of years, and I don't think I've ever tried to preach about it specifically. This morning I want to talk to you about amen. Comes from the Hebrew word amen. And it is the most widely recognized word in the world. It doesn't matter what culture you're in, what socioeconomic status you have, or what country you live in, or what language you speak. Most people recognize the word amen. They write songs about it. Y'all know Randy Travis is just one example. Randy Travis wrote that song, or he sang it anyway. I'm going to love you forever and ever and ever. Amen. I won't try to sing it, but y'all know he sang that song about his love for his wife. I'm guessing it's his wife. Hopefully he's singing about his wife. Now, there are so many different things that the word amen can use. Even non-Christians and non-Jews say it to affirm something, or that they agree with what you're saying. But I want to talk about what the Bible speaks about when it uses the word amen. The first time the word amen is used is in the Old Testament, in a law that was concerning a woman that had been suspected of committing adultery, and the priest said, I'm going to paraphrase because I didn't write it down, but it's the first time it's used is when the priest would go, and this was a test, and he would give her water, and if it turned bitter, then it would cause her stomach to swell and her thigh to rot. And the priest would have her there, and he would pronounce that upon her, that if you did this thing, this is what's going to happen. And the woman answered the priest, amen, amen, meaning so be it, or let it be. Now, that's what that was. Now, there are the word amen essentially means firm. In its when it's used as an adjective, okay? When it's used as a metaphor, it means faithful or true. When it's used as an adverb, it means truly, certainly, or surely. And sometimes it's used at the beginning of a sentence, which means what follows is true and certain. You know, Jesus used that, and it's translated verily, verily, or truly, truly. And it means that what is about to say has great emphasis placed upon it. So, if I stood up here and started the sermon out with amen, it means what I'm about to say is emphatic and is declarative. And when it's used at the end of a sentence, it is used to confirm the words spoken and to invoke the fulfillment of them. That means if you said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You would say, amen, and meaning that is what I confirm also. I'm confirming that for me. You said it, and I'm confirming it. And it also, when the priests, so you're basically saying, so be it, or let it be done. Now, when the priests were to deliver the covenant to the people, and they read the words of the law or the covenant, then the people responded with amen. And now their amen was a firm declaration that they were partakers in and bound by the oath. And that really, amen, it's really an oath that you're taking, or you're taking whatever they said as yours. And so when the priest would pronounce things, the people would say, amen. Now, the Jews say in their writings that there is nothing greater in the sight of the blessed God than the amen that an Israelite answers with. Now, they put very high regard on the word amen. God does too. Let me say that. Now, I want to give you some instances in the scripture where amen is used. Now, one of the big before I say that, let me say this. I want to read off every book in the scriptures that ends with amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, actually I forgot Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, Jude, and Revelation all end with amen. That means that is firm and it is true and is faithful. So be it, let it be. I agree. And my confirmation with these words makes it an oath of mine that these things are true. Now, Moses instructed Joshua. I'm going to give you a little bit of history today. Moses instructed Joshua in chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. And I want you to turn there. And I'm going to start I'm just going to start in verse 1. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day that when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. Now, I want us, before I go any further, I want to turn over a few pages to Joshua chapter 8. And I'm going to read this. Joshua chapter 8, verse 30. Then, now this is right after Joshua had taken and the children of Israel, and really God did it, taken the city of Ai. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. And as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all, he wrote that in the presence of the children of Israel. Y'all remember that? And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant or living among them. Now, I want you to get this picture. Moses, I'm going to read it, but I want to, before I read it, I want to tell you, I want you to get the picture. Moses said, when you cross over Jordan, you've set half of the children of Israel, that, you know, y'all remember Jacob, or Israel, God changes Jacob's name to Israel, and he had 12 sons. Right? And six of them, Moses said, stand on Mount Gerizim, and six of the tribes, the other half of the brothers and their descendants, stand on the other Mount Ebal. And the Levites, the priests of the Levites, are in the valley. And all the people are up on the mountains, so that they can see and hear the priests. And all the priests are in the middle. And now, and then the priests are to pronounce all the words of the law. Now I'm going to read. This is in Deuteronomy 27. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God shall give thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore, it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. Why did Moses command them to plaster them with plaster? So that they would not be removed or changed. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. Now listen to this. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. I don't think that the Word of God ought to be preached or written in an unplain manner. It ought to be preached plainly so that the people can understand and that there's no mistaking what the preacher said. God didn't make a mistake when He wrote the words, and He commanded Joshua to write all the words down very plainly, exactly like God wrote them the first time. Now, and He says, and Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. That thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When ye are come over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall, that's six of the boys, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. See, the Levites are down there in the valley, right? And all Israel, all the rest of Israel, half on this mountain, half on this one. Get the picture. And all the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image in abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it to a secret place, in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. What does that mean? Setteth light by his father or mother. That means that they don't entertain what their mother and father say. They don't honor their parents. They make light of what they say and don't take heed. It says, cursed be he. So when these children of Israel, when the priests sit down there and are reading the law, all of the people say amen to those curses. Like, yes, we let it be so. So be it. They're taking on the curse. They're taking an oath to say that it shall be this way with us. If our children make light of what we do and do it, did you know what happened to them? Y'all kids, y'all know what happened to them? To the kids that didn't take heed to what their parents said? Do y'all know? You can say it out loud if you know. They were stoned. The parents brought them out. The fathers brought them out and said, this is an unruly child. And they stoned them. And all the children of Israel are saying, amen, we abide, we're going to abide by these things. They make an oath when they say amen. Now, he keeps on going. And he's, I'm not going to read them all. I want you to get this though. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. I tell you what, when those people said, Amen, they took it to heart. They were guiding their life by these things. And I find it a little bit strange that they didn't, when they blessed the people, that when the priest said, when you do these things, you're going to be blessed, they weren't to say Amen. Now, I find that a little bit strange. But I tell you what, when they made an oath, and because this is an oath right here, when they made an oath that to follow these things, they were taking it upon themselves, and when they said Amen, they recognized and declared that they were a part of that oath. Amen is real. Amen is serious. Now, I tell you what, I've heard of preachers asking the people to give them an amen. Haven't you? I've heard preachers ask the people to give an amen. And I heard one preacher say, I don't want to make you a hypocrite. If you don't agree with what I'm saying or what the Word of God says, don't say amen. Don't become part of that oath if you don't believe it. But if you believe it, friends, and if you're willing to be a partaker in the blessings and the joys, and also if you believe what, and you have, if you're a partaker in that, then you ought to say amen. Even if it's a cursing. Now, there's a lot of things to say amen about in the Bible. I tell you that David, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm not going to go into all these things, but I just want you to know that this is pretty serious stuff when you say amen. 1 Chronicles 16. And this is upon the return of the ark from the Philistine. Did y'all know the Philistines had the ark at one time? Ark of the Covenant, God's law. Did y'all know that? They took it. God smote them with emrods and scabs and all kind of stuff. And they gave gifts to Israel. Gold, even. That were in the form of the emrods. And the Bible, I mean, it's kind of gross, but you know what? It's kind of things that we don't like to talk about, but it's real. Emrod in the Bible refers to a hemorrhoid. It does. And they made golden hemorrhoids and sent them back because they didn't want that plague to continue on them. And so David and the ark stayed at Obed-Edom's house for a little while. And then David went and told them to bring back the ark to where it should dwell in Jerusalem. Now this is upon this occasion. And in verse 36 or 34 he says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. Y'all remember that phrase, forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. They were saying that we are going to be partakers in blessing the Lord with you. We agree with that. We confirm what you're saying. Amen and amen to God being blessed to be the Lord God of Israel, and may He be blessed forever and ever. May we bless Him forever and ever. Amen. All the people said amen. Now, David said amen a lot. If y'all look at it in terms of the Psalms, he said amen a lot. And he also, upon when Solomon, when he declared, or when Adonijah declared himself, who was the son of David, he declared himself to be the king of Israel. David said, he's not the king. God already showed me who the king was going to be, and it's not Adonijah. It's Solomon. And so Adonijah declared himself to be king, but David stood up and they blew a trumpet and anointed Solomon with the oil. The priest did, Nathan the priest, anointed him, and then they blew a trumpet and David declared his son to be king in his stead as his Lord showed him. And then in 1 Kings chapter 1, I'm going to read a little bit, not just a verse or two. And he said, in verse 33, and the king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord, and call Solomon, my son, to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen. And the Lord God of my Lord the King say so too. Do y'all know what he did there? He says, I've confirmed it, and let the God that you serve confirm it too. Because he had already told David that he was going to confirm it, and Jehoiada just was saying, I agree with it, and God does too. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to go and move on into stuff that's more familiar. I wanted to lay that groundwork, though, that about the people saying amen and how important it was. Now, I want to talk about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is upon Paul describing or teaching the Corinthian church who had a big problem with being puffed up and relishing or trying to advance their own spiritual gifts. They were trying to one-up each other. Okay? Now, Paul is talking to them regarding speaking in unknown tongues. And he says in verse 12, in verse 9. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification or meaning. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That means do things that edify the church instead of edifying yourself or promoting yourself. Do things that edify the church. And he says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, What does that word else mean? It means, if I don't do that, if I don't sing or pray with understanding, else, how shalt thou bless with the Spirit? Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? You know what that unlearned means? That person that don't understand the language that you're speaking. He's not talking about gibberish. He's talking about if you have a person in here that doesn't understand your language. Like an Asian being in here that never heard English. He says, if they come in here, how are they going to say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So this amen is very important. Paul says that if you preach or speak it with something that all the people don't understand, how are they going to say amen to what you're saying? Amen is powerful. Amen is needful. Amen is something that we all ought to be doing. Amen means that we're taking that upon ourselves and we're agreeing and confirming what is said and we're joining in the praise and worship of God. That's what that means. Now, and then Paul says, in Matthew chapter 6, I want to talk about this for a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, this is the model prayer that Jesus spoke. He didn't teach, they asked him several times, teach us to pray. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Means it's special. Hallowed means it's something of great notice. Hallowed means that it's praiseworthy. Hallowed means you're declaring that God has all the preeminence and he's sovereign. That's what hallowed means. It's set apart. It's something special to you. Hallowed be thy name. And then he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I find so many times in the scriptures that the word forever and amen are connected inseparably. Sometimes it talks about a lot of times it talks about things as being blessed be the God who's only the King forever. Amen. Forever. Amen. Forever. Amen. So Jesus says, thine is the kingdom. Talking about God, for thine is the kingdom and the power. So he's saying that when we pray, we ought to realize that God is the King. And that the kingdom is his. And that not only that it's his, but all the power is given to him. And he says, for thine is the kingdom and the power. And that the glory of that kingdom and the glory of that power and the glory of his presence is forever. It's never going to end. Friends, God is not dead. He never was. And he never will be. Amen. That's an amen right there. Because God, that is firm. And so be it. And let it be. And I'm taking that oath of confirmation that I agree that God is not dead. And that the power and the glory and the kingdom is his. And he stands and right now as king as he ever will. Amen. I agree with that. I not only agree with it, but I say it loud and proud. Amen. Yeah, I say some things proud, but my pride is not in me. My pride is in the Lord Jesus Christ and His authority and His kingdom and His power and His glory. It's not mine. Amen. Now, amen is a very prominent word in the Scriptures. It's so prominent that all those books ended with amen. Have you ever thought about that? Every one of those books ended with amen that I read earlier. That meant that was the seal of confirmation that those writers, mostly Paul, but not Paul wasn't the only one. I think it was 23 out of the 26 books of the New Testament ended with amen. That means so be it. Now, he says in Revelation, I want to talk about this a little bit. Revelation chapter 1, we're not going to get out of Revelation anymore today. We're going to continue with it. He says in verse... I can't read it all. I want to read it all, but I can't. In verse 17, this is when the Lord appeared and revealed Himself unto John. And when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me. I can just see this. He fell at his feet as a dead man. And Jesus reached down and put his hand upon his head. And he says, fear not. Boy, I tell you what, if God did that to me, I wouldn't have any fear. Would you? Now he's saying, I fear not. He said it to John, but you can agree with it too. Now he says, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Jesus, amen, his own words. That means that it stands fast and it's faithful and true. And so be it. Jesus said, I'm the first, I'm the last. Amen. Now, and then he says, and have the keys of hell and death. I tell you what, Jesus is the... remember we talked about this not long ago, about the resurrection and the end of time, end of days. Jesus has the keys of hell and death. Satan don't have any keys to anything like that. He can't get out when he wants to. He can only get out if Jesus let him. Now, and he goes, now that's faithful and true, isn't it? That's true. And amen to that. Amen to God being on all powerful and on his throne. And Jesus having the keys of hell and death. And then he tells him to write. And so John continues to write. And then in chapter 3, he says, in verse 14, and he says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now, I'm the angel, I mean, considering this, I'm the angel or messenger of the church at New Antioch. So this is a letter that he instructed John to write to send to the church at Laodicea, to the pastor there, to the angel, the messenger there. And he says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Now, who's doing the speaking here? The Amen is doing the speaking. Jesus says, I'm the Amen. I am the faithful. I am the true. I'm the word that will make it come to pass. I am the Amen. He says, well, what a great name. He's the Amen. I love that, don't you? Now, he says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Now, isn't that right? Jesus is the faithful and true witness, which is a confirmation of him being the Amen. That's what amen means, right? Faithful and true. It means faithful and true. Now, Jesus is faithful. I'm glad about that, aren't you? Jesus is not lacking any faith. And he's not lacking any truth. Now, he says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. He's telling this preacher to tell the church, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, that's in a bad shape. If you were wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked and didn't know it, God knows it. That's what he's saying. I know you. God's saying, I see you. I'm the Amen. I'm faithful and true. I know you. I see everything. You don't realize that you're poor and naked and blind and miserable and wretched, but I see it. He says, but because thou say that you aren't, I'm rich and increased with goods, you don't know it. So money and in goods and increase can sometimes and most assuredly, most of the time, blinds us to our miserableness. We think that money is going to make it all better, don't we? It don't. Money don't make it all better. But it makes you blind to what you really are. Poor and wretched and miserable and blind. What's the true riches of the world? I mean, of God's children in the world. What's the true riches? It's Jesus. It's following Him. It's His Word. It's following after His Spirit and living in the kingdom of God. That's the true riches. And He says, if you're not going to take care, and even if you don't take care of the worldly riches, who's going to entrust into you the true riches? Now, He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. You know what that means? That means to cover yourself in the righteousness of Christ. That means to live after the kingdom principles. That means all that stuff. And he says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. That's not talking about Jesus knocking on a door of your heart, letting it, and if you open to him, you'll get to go to heaven. That's not what that's talking about. That's not who this letter was written to. This letter was written to the angel of the church at Laodicea, and this church had become cold and naked and miserable and blind. And they thought they were increased with goods and had need of nothing. But Jesus, in His mercy that endures forever, amen, says that if any man in that church will open unto me, and when I am knocking at the door of the church, if I knock on that door, and if any man open to me, I'll come in unto him, and I'll sup with him, and he with me. And brother, that's communion is what that is. That's communing with the Lord. That's praying to Him, and hearing and listening to Him, and having a conversation with Him, and having communion. I tell you what, that's great. And then he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is not the Spirit or Jesus talking to an individual man about knocking on the door of his heart. He says, I'm writing this to the churches where God's people live. Now, and he goes on, and he called himself the Amen. And then I want to go and quickly down in here and turn on over to the last chapter of 22. And we can see how John who saw all of these things. He was with the Lord. He saw Him as He healed the lepers, how He made the blind to see, and how He caused the lame to walk, and how He caused the dumb to speak. And I tell you, John saw all those things, and he saw the Lord. And he loved Him. You know, he loved Him so much, he never referred to himself as I, John, most of the time when he wrote. Most of the time he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, didn't he? And he communed with Him that way. And John saw the Lord as a friend, but on this day, when he was on the Lord in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he saw Him as a dead man. And then the Lord reveals all these things to John. John's not the revelator, he's the revelatee. I've heard Him called John the Revelator, haven't you? He didn't reveal anything. It was revealed to Him. And all this book is not a revelation of John. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. This reveals Jesus Christ. And then finally, it talks about the last coming, the second coming of Jesus. It's the last one too. The second coming of Jesus Christ when He comes. And John saw Jerusalem from above coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. And then, that's New Jerusalem. That's what a picture that is of the Lord bringing all of the saints that are asleep in Jesus that are in paradise today, just like the thief on the cross. You know He's going to be with them. You know the Apostle Paul's going to be with them. You know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are going to be with them. You know that Peter is going to be with them. And all of those people that Moses, King David, all of those are going to be with the Lord when He comes back the second time. They're going to accompany Him when He comes, and their bodies will be raised from this grave. And then He talks about those that are alive and remain, which will that are still here, like if it happened today, us would be in the number that are alive and remain, and that the dead in Christ arise first. And then that means David and Moses and Abraham and all them God's going to bring with Him. And then we're going to join them in the air, but we're going to be changed first. Now, what a great day. So this is revealed to John and all these other things. And in verse 16, he says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. You know what? I want to get something else before I get all that. Turn over to chapter 5. And he says, but this is such a beautiful thing. And in chapter 5, and I saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, verse 1, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take
the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. If you want to try to count that number up, you go ahead. But I tell you, it's an innumerable company of hosts, friends, and all these things that they say with a loud voice. They're talking about the Amen, see? And he says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. You know, forever and ever keeps coming up, don't it? Forever and ever, Amen. Forever and ever, Amen. And I'll tell you, when in this scene right here, I see all of God's creation falling down and worshiping Him and saying, Amen, and that they, so be it. So if we sing that song, if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. That is really saying, Amen, so be it. If it is that way, so be it. And friends, I tell you, they might not like it, friends. Sometimes they don't understand. People don't, when they say Amen, they really don't understand what it means. But friends, on the last day, when every creature is going to bow, and they are going to have to say, I don't know that I can prove this, but I tell you, they all can, based on what Amen means, they're really declaring, so be it. It is this way. It can't be any other way. So when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that He is God, they're saying, so be it. And in effect, all creation is going to say, Amen. At the last day. Oh, let's turn over to the last chapter and start reading. I'm almost done. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. Isn't that great? He's both the root and the offspring of David. That means David sprang from him and he sprang from David. And the bright and morning star, he's talking about himself. Jesus talking about himself. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. I want to make a comment about the water of life. He says, let him take the water of life freely, not the life freely. Amen? The water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You remember when Moses said, write all the words of the law down on those stones very plainly? Yeah. Words in this book ought to be very plain. Don't change them. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Did you know that the whole of God's Word ends with Amen? You know what that means to me? That means that every word in it is confirmed by God, and it's faithful, and it's true, and it's sure, and it's steadfast, and you can live by it, you can die by it, you can rejoice by it, You can have grace and mercy by it. You can be assured of it and be steadfast in your life by it, because God said, Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a word. What a concept. Praise the Lord today. I'm going to say it with John. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.